Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back. Another edition of No Bets Barred. This time, UFC Vegas 87. Rosenstrike versus
Gildenstern. I was making a very lame joke because it would be better than the main event we're getting this Saturday.
No, I can't even lie. I didn't hear what you said.
Gildenstern.
Yeah, I mean, main event, you know, Rosenstrike 1-4 in his last, or 1-3 in his last four. This will be his second UFC fight. Getting any Abus Magomedov vibes from this?
I don't know, but I saw something today, Connor, that it brought me down. I'm not going to lie to you. It brought me down.
Someone
confirmed this, and I believe this is true. Maybe I miscounted somewhere, but because we've had so many new UFC champions in recent years, a lot of turnover, if you remove John Jones... Jairzinho Rosenstrike, this will be his sixth main event. That is more than any non-John Jones current UFC champion has main evented a card inside the UFC.
That is incredible. That is an incredible statistic. And I mean, what can you say? The UFC likes the heavies. They love the heavyweights. There's like nothing the like a heavyweight main event, especially at the apex.
They love the heavies, but I saw that on Twitter. Forget who it was. So sorry if it was you. Shout out to you if you were the one. And then I was like, that can't be true. Like, surely that's not true. And then it's like, actually, Jairzinho Rosenstrike, this is his sixth event. And a lot of new champions not headlining a lot of cards. Wiley Zhang not headlining a lot of cards. It's just, it is what it is.
How many of those main events have been at the Apex as well? I think Volkov was at the Apex.
I would bet. I'm not looking at it, but I would bet four. I mean, four already, so this would be the fifth, would be my guess.
Gosh. Augusto Sakai, Jairzinho Rosenstrike was the main event.
I mean, Shamil Gaziev is not that much different than Augusto Sakai, if we're being honest.
You're not wrong. Headline, UFC Vegas 20, UFC Vegas 26. Who else? Who else has he headlined? Well, then he also has a couple of headlines pre-Apex era as well. But I think four of them have been in the Apex. Volkov, Gaziev, Sakai, and Gon.
That's a lot. I would assume Overeem was pre-Apex, right? So that had to have been out just because that's Overeem. Overeem wasn't fighting by the time we're Apex. Did he fight Ngannou in the Apex? Was that on another card?
It wasn't the Apex, but that was when the Apex was being used for Apex reasons. Like that was May of 2020.
That was actually
in Jacksonville in May of 2020. Uh-oh. They hadn't built the Apex yet.
Oh, okay. So then, yeah. So that wasn't even there. That wasn't a headliner then if that was in Jacksonville.
No. That was the Ferguson Gaethje card.
In my mind, that was the headline fight for whatever reason. But yeah, man's getting a lot of traction out there. He's out there just putting in the work as a main eventer for the UFC. And
3-5 in his last eight.
We did BTL today. We did a little early. We're recording this on Tuesday. We had a question come in, and I learned a lot of facts about Suriname, so that was cool. But that's, I got to tell you, that's been the best part of this main event, is me learning about Suriname. I then went down a deep rabbit hole, and I got inspired by you, Fight Feast. Wonderful, yeah. Fight Feast.
I'm actually looking it up right now. Suriname food? What are we talking about?
I got to tell you, the cuisine looks exceptional. I mean, it's apparently a very melting pot culture, just a lot of diversity, a lot of different, you know, communities coming in. Cuisine looked amazing, and I could not find a Surinamese restaurant in Atlanta in my searches. So, cause I was going to do it. I was going to be like, you know what? I'll do a little Seaburg special for Saturday. I'll go out, I'll get some Surinamese food. You know, put it up on the Twitter. Won't be as highly produced as Fight Feast, but I could do my own thing. And then it was tough for me to find any Surinamese food.
Yeah. I'm not having a ton of luck finding it in NYC either. I feel like that's the niche of the niche.
It's a small country, Connor. 93% of it is covered by rainforest. This was one of the fun facts we learned.
Sick. That's cool.
Population is 600,000. So there are more people by many magnitudes in New York City than in the country of Suriname. Official language is Dutch.
Shout out. That's pretty sick.
We learned a bunch of good things about Suriname.
I did not know that. Dutch, the official language.
They asked, and I guessed Spanish because, you know, South America, and was incorrect. But if you look up the cuisine, it looks like something I'd be interested in. So if you're Surinamese out there, you're in the Atlanta area, you know, hit me up, shout out. I'll come over for a home-cooked dinner anytime you want to offer that, you know?
Brother, you could have asked me, what three countries does Suriname border? I never, ever, ever would have guessed. Brazil, Guyana.
Brazil, I know, and then French Guinea and Ecuador?
Guyana. Actually, man, I guess it wouldn't really fit. There is a Guyanese. There's a Guyana restaurant right near me.
That's got to be similar. I did not look up Guyanese cuisine to know, but I just sort of have to assume that there's some overlap there, right?
Got to be. Dutch.
Dutch.
How many countries in South America have the official language of Dutch?
Can't be a lot of them. Can't be a lot of them.
So, all right, well, that was that's interesting, man. Biggie boy, shout
facts.
Out.
Fun facts with Connor and Jed.
He's got to be the only fighter from Suriname in the UFC.
Oh, I want to say that's not entirely true.
I could be off of
maybe
that.
Maybe now. He was definitely the first. I do know for a fact that, but I feel like it's some point.
You know where Harris is from? Guyana.
Is that right? Oh,
right
Guyana.
Next door.
Oh, see?
Right next door.
Right next door.
I knew he had a flag you don't see too often.
Let me take a gander and see if I see any other Surinamese. Oh, Tyrone Spong, who's not in the UFC, but is apparently Surinamese. I mean,
it's surprising how many Brazilian fighters there are. I mean, they are legendary when it comes to the sports of mixed martial arts. And then just to the north, Suriname, Biggie Boy is their greatest export.
I mean, the cuisine is their greatest export. If you looked at
some of those, that's to be seen. We haven't tried it yet. That's to be seen.
Some of those pictures, man. I gotta tell you, what they're cooking up seems like something I want to be a part of.
I might have to do a little further research on this, see if I can figure something out. All right, last week, Mexico City, PFL Bellator. How'd we do?
Not great. As has happened every week but one this week. It came down to the main event. I lost the main event.
Yeah, I lost the main event on two fronts.
Split decision. And obviously, I also lost the under with you.
Yep.
Split decision main event. I scored it for Moreno, but I have no issues with you scoring it for Royval. It's not a robbery. But once again, the difference. every weekend this year basically has just been like, all right, I hope I got the main event right. And I have been pretty bad at getting main events
this year. Filed in a winning week yet?
Nope. Another small loss. I am down 5 units on the year total. Just, I had the one actual 298 was at least like a real losing week. Like everything else I've lost like a little under a unit and just can't get the main event to hit, or else we could get into the black.
I was on the cusp of having my biggest week ever. I was up 11 units going into the main event.
Nice.
Missed the under. Missed Brandon Moreno to finish a parlay. So still finished up like 7 units on the week. Back-to-back great weeks. Firmly in the green now for 2024. Hopefully can continue that trend upwards. But yeah, the Jack Hermansson fight, Jack Hermansson, Joe Pyfer, needed either the under or Joe Pyfer. Missed them both. Main event here, needed either the under or Brandon Moreno. Missed them both. So unfortunate, but it is what it is. Still happy to win. Happy to get away in some green. Clean sweep for me on PFL. Nice 4-unit dub on old PFL.
I love that for, I mean, our Romero bet hit. Love that for
Romero
us.
Romero under easy as pie in that main event.
I realized after they did the stare down at the weigh-ins,
oh
I was like, I can't believe I bet on Ryan Bader.
The size differential.
I have regrets about this. And then I was still like, I don't know, man. Because then the odds kept moving towards Fajeda. And I was like, I mean, he's still not very good. Why is Ryan Bader this big of an underdog now? And then I was like, oh, because as soon as he hits Ryan Bader is going to be out. He does not want any part of El Problema. And so I have only myself to blame. Also, if I had just not made that bet, we'd be fine too. But
yep. I mean, that's the thing.
You know,
losing bets are, they hurt. They hurt bad. Not making a bet is a lot better than losing a bet, I can tell you that much. But we push on.
I've internalized that for this week, Connor.
That's a good way to do it. I don't even have that much action, but I have too much action for this card. I can tell you that much. I don't even have that much action, but I got too much action for this card.
I have three bets. One is a gimmick parlay.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, the good news is flyweight unders, I think we can officially stamp, you know, they're going to be a case by case thing.
I had a tough go.
Looked good for a minute. 2-1. I was like, man, and 2-1. And then the fights that were favored to end inside the distance to go, it was looking good. But alas, we roll on.
I mean, Altamirano, like, I was like, okay.
Looked like it.
All right, there's some chances here. Really look like it. And then it was like, oh, never mind.
Bummer.
And things just unfortunate. Unfortunate is the word.
All right, UFC Vegas 87. Let's start with the main event. We just mentioned it. Jairzinho Rozenstrike taking on Shamil Gaziev. Right now, Shamil is your favorite in just his second MMA fight, in just his second UFC fight, getting the main event spotlight, minus 162, Rozenstrike coming back at plus 136. I can't decide on a side. I have no faith in Shamil's cardio. He's been over the 1.5 just one time.
And he punches as hard as he possibly can every time he swings.
I also think Biggie Boy has faced the better level of competition. I kind of feel like this is going to be a slugfest. Shamil could maybe take it to the ground. Probably his best option with Jairzinho's grappling abilities. But I don't know, man. I don't know if I can trust Shamil on just his... I mean, this guy was an underdog to Martin Budai in his very last fight. And now we're getting him as a minus 165 against a guy who has a lot more experience than him. And if this fight goes longer, we've seen Biggie Boy go to decisions before, 5-round decisions. I really don't favor him. So I don't know on a side. I am going to go with the under 1.5, though, as I just mentioned. Shamil been on over 1.5 one time in his career. And then Biggie Boy, 9 of his last 13 have gone under the 1.5. I think someone's getting caught here. And I think it probably happens in the first round.
Very likely. This will not, I repeat, not be a heavyweight over. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are part of heavyweight over bandwagon, Rozenstrike and Gaziev are both enemies of the state. I mean, Gaziev just has no interest in seeing past 6 minutes of in a fist fight.
I was going to say, even when he goes to the second round, he's like, it's time to get out of here. Yeah,
first minute of the second round. I screwed up by going to the second round.
Sits on the stool and is like, what am I doing
believe.
Here?
I can't
why
believe
is this not
did.
Over?
Yeah, why am I still invested in this fist fight? Gonna finish it right now. So as persona non grata in flyweight or heavyweight over nation, can't take the action here. I would encourage people not to bet on Gaziev. However, this is what I've done because
you bet on.
not bet on him straight. I've put him in a parlay. And Connor, it's a pretty simple parlay. There are five legs to it.
Wow.
We'll get to it. It pays out 244. This will be the last leg. And I'm making it known right now. He's only in this parlay to fulfill the gimmick. And should the other four legs cash, we will be hedging with a bet on Jairzinho Rozenstruik prior to this fight going down. So it's not good enough odds for me to take Rozenstruik, who hasn't looked particularly great lately, but someone's just going to get knocked out. If Gaziev has a great chin, it's probably Rozenstruik. If Gaziev's chin, which we just haven't seen tested all that much, isn't that great, he's probably going to gas out and Rozenstruik's going to tag him. So,
five legs to the parlay?
Five legs. You figured it out, haven't you?
I have figured it out. I had one theory. I thought it was going to be the guys ending their last name in V parlay, but that would only be four.
Nope.
What it is the undefeated prospect.
It's the undefeated parlay. I mean, how could it lose?
They've never lost. I mean, you're talking, what do we got? 22, 38, 42. Who's the last one? Who's the last one? And 10. So 52-0 combined between the five.
I mean, 52-0, that's better than Floyd Mayweather. Just saying.
That's better than Floyd Mayweather.
That's almost two Habibs, really.
That is almost two Habibs. That is true.
They've never lost. So all I'm doing is betting on something that has never happened, continuing to never happen, you know?
There it is.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Let's move to the co-main event, lightweight bout. Vitor Petrino taking on Tyson Pedro. Vitor, a big favorite, -305. Pedro, +245. And I assume you're taking the undefeated 10-0 Vitor Petrino here.
He's undefeated, so yes, I am taking Vitor Petrino. I also think I'm of this undefeated parlay, the leg I'm probably the most concerned about is Gaziev, but I think Petrino could get upset. I mean, Tyson Pedro hits real hard. Guy's been around the block. He's seen a lot of things, but Petrino's dope and he can take this to the ground and just have his way on the floor. So I like Petrino here.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a slugfest. 10 wins for Pedro. All 10 of them are in the first round. Petrino, I mean, if you go back and watch that Bukauskas knockout, I mean, that thing was nasty. Another thing in your favor, little MMA math never fails. You know, Petrino beat Bukauskas, Tyson Pedro did not. So, yeah, I mean, that is going for you.
We're cooking.
I mean, we're cooking. But I am not going to take the under. I'm not going to take a side. I'm going to take a prop. I'm going with Petrino by KO plus 175 here. I mean, I'm getting the undefeated minus 300 prospect favorite who has won 7 of his 10 fights by knockout against the guy who has never won if the fight leaves the first round, has also been finished in the first round. That's a huge swing in odds. I mean, we're talking about almost 500 points there to take what I think is the most likely outcome. So Petrino by KO, plus 175 is my pick.
I do want to circle back just because I forgot I put a note here, but we didn't talk about it. If you want to bet Gaziev, don't put him in. I mean, unless you're betting him in, you know, undefeated parlay, that's fair. You can get Gaziev by knockout at plus 175. That just seems like a substantially better bet.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, it's just like, I think Rozenstrike right now is plus 125, plus 140 now. And I think him inside the distance, yeah, it's the classic where they haven't updated it yet. Mm-hmm. Right now on Bet Online, Rozenstrike plus 140, Rozenstrike inside the distance plus 125. That's just plus EV gambling right there.
That's just good. That's where you want to get your money on.
That's good gambling right there. All right, let's keep it rolling. To the third fight, the featured bout, Alex Perez taking on Muhammad Mohaiev, another undefeated prospect.
Can you tell me what his resume is?
10-0. 10-0 for big M squared, Muhammad Mohaiev. He is a favorite that is growing quickly. When I checked the odds on Sunday, he was minus 240. He is now minus 360. So growing. A lot of these favorites are ballooning and ballooning fast. So get in while you can. I'm assuming you're taking the aforementioned Muhammad Mahaev.
I am taking the aforementioned Muhammad Mahaev. I also, I didn't want to double up, but I strongly considered Mahaev by submission prop bet. I'm just not going to because, you know, haven't won yet this year. Doubling up seems like maybe not the best way to move forward in that scenario. But Alex Perez has been submitted like 5 times in his career.
Correct.
Mahaev is a tremendous grappler, a tremendous wrestler. I am also, because I'm not doubling up, I've just gone, I mean, it's a flyweight fight, you know. But we've learned with Mahaev, you don't take the unders. You take Never. The fight does not go to the decision.
Always.
It's minus 125. Instead of doubling up with a Mahaev by submission and an under. And I'm taking the fight does not go to the distance here.
Yeah, I'm actually on that as well. A lot of questions.
I figured you would be.
Yeah. A lot of questions going into this one, man. I mean, first and foremost, back-to-back fights here, back-to-back flyweight fights. Do Matt Schnell and Alex Perez both make it to the octagon on Saturday? Since 2020, a combined 19 canceled bouts between them.
That's a lot.
They were supposed to fight each other, and it got canceled 4 times. Both of them withdrew. Perez missed weight one time, and then at one point it got rescheduled. Like, it is madness. Both these dudes are having a hard time making it into the octagon, and they fight in back-to-back fights on Saturday.
I mean, you can look at it that way. What I look at it is, they are so committed to the flyweight under lifestyle.
Sometimes
it catches up to them. They can't even make it to the cage. That's how committed they are to fights not going 13 minutes. You know,
that actually makes a great point with that. Perez alone, since November of 2020, he's had 10 bouts canceled or rescheduled, only fought twice. But man, when he was in there,
it's not for long.
He got submitted in the first round in both of those. But like, in all honesty, it's tough to know where he's at this point in his career. You know, he's not old. He's only 31, but like 3.5 years of just constantly canceled fights. And then when you do fight, you're getting out of there. And like, I think he has a combined fight time of like 4 minutes over the last 4 years. It's kind of tough to know where your head's at. And like you said, he's been subbed 5 times. Mahaev, he almost exclusively wins by submission when he does get finishes. And I kind of just feel like that's the fate of Perez here. Because to go off what you said, Mahaev, the 11th hour killer, you can't take the under. The only time he's been to a decision in the UFC was against Charles Johnson, who we know hates unders.
I mean, the number one hater.
The number one hater of unders. So yeah, I mean, four of his five wins have come by finish. I like the fight does not go to a decision on Perez, man. Not just the last two fights ending in the first round. Six of his last seven have ended in the first round. So I like this, man. Minus 120 for fight doesn't go to a decision. It's a good price.
Especially because we've talked about it on a lot of other programs on the MMA Fighting Network this week, but a lot of stakes suddenly for this. Like, Muhammad Mahayev is going to come in a little juiced up because if he gets the win, I think he gets a title shot.
We think 301 against...
I think 301 against Andre Pantoja because...
Second youngest champion of all time, just a few days behind John Jones.
He'd be the third youngest champion because Jose Aldo, but, you know, whatever. Okay, nobody ever respects Jose Aldo. I get it. Right. But, yeah, I mean, I just don't think you can get Brandon Royval a title shot against Alejandro Pantoja. It's not like he lost to Pantoja like a year ago. He lost to Pantoja 2 months ago. He lost to Pantoja in December.
For the second time. That was the second time
because he lost to him again like 2 years before. He has lost twice to this man in the last 26 months or whatever. So
I'm also just not sure a split decision win. A split decision win gets you right back into the title shot like that. So, yeah, I do think it's a valid point for Mahayev and, you know, undefeated at that point. He'll be so young. There's a storyline to build.
Six wins, five. Like, if he goes out, assuming he does it, five finishes. Like, that's – I think he's the front runner. So, he's going to be juiced up. He's going to come in there. He's not going to get the knockout because he doesn't throw punches. He really doesn't throw punches. It is astonishing how few strikes he has thrown in his UFC career to be 5-0.
Please give him the title shot because I undefeated prospect,
65 strikes total
against Alejandro Pantoja. I like our odds there.
It would be fun. So, but yeah, I think he's gonna be juiced up. Alex 65. Perez likes to get finished. We're gonna get a finish here.
All right, let's keep it rolling to the next fight of the night. Matt Schnell taking on Steve Urseg. Right now, Urseg is your favorite. Coming in at minus 310, Schnell plus 250. Yeah, another guy. I mean, we just talked about him, Schnell, withdrawing quite a bit. He was actually supposed to have this fight at 295 just a few months ago. And it's tough to trust his durability, man. He's getting up there, 34 years old. Last time out, he got dropped twice and KO'd pretty bad by Nicolau. Been finished in all five of his UFC losses. He got finished on The Ultimate Fighter. I mean, it's just, I just feel like Urseg has a, I feel like these guys are fairly matched in skill. And Urseg has a much better durability advantage. And I think that's what's just going to come to fruition here. And he's going to get his hand raised come Saturday night.
I agree. Schnell, you know, a trooper for unders. Got to love that about him.
19 of his last 22, if you count The Ultimate Fighter, have not seen the third round.
I mean, that's a commitment to the lifestyle, which I respect. I'm interested to see how Urseg looks because he, you know, I mean, he just came on the scene basically out of nowhere. I mean, eternal MMA champ, but comes in, beats David Dvorak. That immediately gets him. I think that was short notice, too. I want to say that he was a short notice replacement against Dvorak, so immediately gets himself a ranking, and now he's fighting a top, you know, 12, top 15 dude. I don't know what Schnell is in the UFC's rankings, and it's kind of a going concern, but two decisions, two UFC fights. I want to see if he can get a finish. If you can't get a finish over Matt Schnell, that's a bit concerning. But I think he does. I have, you know, I looked at the under and then I said, we're doing not goes to decision for, Mahayev Perez. We could just do it again here. And then the spirit of flyweight unders is still carrying forth. Taking the does not go to decision minus 215.
I mean, you're talking about a guy in Steve Urseg. I mean, great nickname, by the way, Astro Boy. You're talking about a guy in Steve Urseg that got the call out of nowhere to jump in on UFC 289 last year against David Dvorak as a massive underdog. Pulls off the dub at plus 240, goes out there and gets a win against Alessandro Costa, and then could beat number 9 ranked Matt Schnell.
He's number 9. Wow.
You're talking about this guy could potentially go from chilling and fighting in Eternal MMA. 1 year ago, he was fighting in Eternal MMA 73. You're talking about from June of last year to now, 9 months. He goes from not even talking about going and fighting in the UFC to being a top 10 flyweight.
I mean, look, he was on my, we did our voting. He was one of my breakout fighters for, or rookie of the year. It's not breakout. We don't do the same for 2023 because dude came out of nowhere to be one of the 15 best flyweights in the world. Not nowhere. Eternal MMA, you know, Australian MMA, it's a developing scene, but not a lot of people heard of Steve Ersegg until he just bust in and now look at him go. Look at Astro Boy out there.
Stevie, baby. Astro. Shout out.
Stevie is just a great name.
Currently 9,500 followers on Twitter. Let's get him the push. Just 413 more till we're at 10K, folks. Let's get the K next.
Let's do it. Come on, get out there after Astro
Come
Boy.
On, Stevie.
Show the love.
We got Ilya at friggin' 3.5 million or whatever. We can't get Stevie up to 10K.
The number is growing given his last
week. Every time I check it, he has 100,000 more followers.
That tracks.
Yep, 3.5 million now. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yesterday he was at like 3.3.
That tracks.
Oh, and it looks like he broke a record on El Hormiguero for the most watched show ever, 5.1 million viewers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the hits just keep on coming for Ilya. Dude. That
27. Guy. It's 27.
Star. I'm going to be looking to make a trip across the pond to España. If that fight gets made, I can promise you that.
I mean, that would be electric.
That would be an all-time trip. That would be a trip I would never forget. Swipe the card, baby. We got American Express for a reason. America,
get those points.
America was built on credit card debt, baby. All right, let's keep it rolling to another fight with an undefeated prospect in it. Umar Nurmagomedov taking on Behzat Almakan. Is Behzat Almakan the Steve Ersegg of 2024?
Dude, legitimately, he could be. Not, I mean, it's not going to be because Umar is that dude. Like, I've been saying for like 2 years now, I think Umar's the best bantamweight in the world. He's just going to have to be able to prove it. He's not going to get the opportunity for a while. Didn't fight at all last year. The number one most ducked fighter in MMA right now. Like, as soon as he gets his day in court, it's going to be a bad time for his ever's opposite. And instead, he gets the worst kind of fight imaginable, an incredibly difficult opponent that not a soul has heard of. You watch any Behzat tape? Dude's gamer. Dude can fight. Dude.
I did watch some Behzat tape. Some of it was, did you watch the one where like the octagon was like covered in rugs?
Yeah.
And like, yeah. I mean, it was a deep dive.
MMA kicks ass, man.
It was a deep dive. I'll tell you that much. I couldn't agree with you more either. This dude goes from having a fight booked with number four bantamweight Corey Sandhagen to a Kazakhstan fighter making his UFC debut that, like you said, no one has heard of, but he is 17-1.
A 26-year-old dog, just a, I mean, one, it's going to be a really fun fight, I think, because I think Behzat has enough to offer to not just be like a total pushover. Maybe we get something like a Mavsarevloev Diego Lopez type performance where he loses, but it's compelling. It's interesting. I'm not sure just because again, I'm so high on Umar, but, I do think Behzat has a bright future. But I think Umar is the champion in waiting in this weight class. It's just how long that waiting lasts.
And if the managerial staff at Behzat Incorporated was cooking at all, he's got a few fights on this deal. Stepping on short notice to fight Umar Nurmagomedov. We'll hook you up with a couple more shots at it after this.
For sure. Also, shout out to Behzat. 44,000 followers on the gram. Come on, Steve.
Quadruple
Stevie,
baby. Come on.
Talk to
Astro
Behzat's
Boy.
Boys.
Get your numbers up, man. Yeah, I do think it's going to be a fun fight, man. I mean, I think Umar, like you said, just high on Umar. I think he's probably just a class above him or two. Because, I mean, he did look good on some of that tape, but the level of competition is not Umar Nurmagomedov.
Well, no.
It took him getting to that octagon league that he's been in the last five or six fights where he's really started fighting dudes with real records behind their names. So, yes, I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the undefeated Nurmagomedov, that's a minus 1200 favorite, is probably going to end up getting his hand raised on Saturday. But that's not my bet. I'm using Umar as a parlay piece.
As am I.
I took him earlier this week at minus 700. You know, still a very inflated price, but a little bit off the top. What I am doing, I'm taking the fight doesn't go to a decision at minus 150. I know Umar, not the biggest finisher. I think 7 of his 16 fights have gone to a decision, but he's finished 4 of his last 5. And I do think he is a level above Bexit here. I think Bexit is going to be, I don't want to say overwhelmed, but I feel like it's going to be like, oh man, this dude is the real deal. And if he's not, and he is this year, Steve Erceg, 16 of Bexit's fights have not gone the distance. So yeah, when you got an undefeated Nurmagomedov as that big of a favorite, who's finished 4 of his last fights, I like him to get the finish. But say he doesn't, I think if Bexit's pulling it off, he probably gets it done by finish. That's how most of his wins come.
I understand the bet. I don't have one beyond the Umar as a parlay piece that's adding no value. I mean, minus 1300 is just doing nothing. So it's a 5-leg parlay, but it's 5 legs that can lose. One of the legs offers nothing should it win. Just the best kind of gambling that you can do.
It's great. It's smart, sound gambling right there.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, let's head to the prelims. Eric Anders taking on Jamie Pickett. In what some are saying is the middleweight fight of the year. This is peak middleweight.
A lot of them. But yeah.
This is peak middleweight right now. Never thought I would say these words, but coming in as your minus 425 favorite, Eric Anders. Your thoughts?
I don't believe that Eric Anders should be a minus 400 favorite over really anyone in the UFC's middleweight division. That being said,
if he was going to be a minus 425 favorite over anyone,
if he was going to be one,
kind of feels like it'd be over Jamie P.
I don't want to disrespect Jamie Pickett because I don't know him. I'm sure he's a lovely person. I am unclear why he is currently employed by the UFC.
He
has lost 4 in a row. 2-6 in the UFC overall. And his last one, he got 30-27 by just, I mean, Josh Fremd. Like, Josh Fremd, fine, but if you're getting 30-27 by Fremd at the end of a 3-fight losing streak already, I just don't know what's keeping you around in the UFC. I don't know why they have not parted ways. Because of that, I can't bet on him. But at the same time, I would never touch Eric Anders at this price. This was, to me, a very obvious, just don't be involved in this fist fight.
I am involved.
Okay.
I'm looking to make it 3 for 3 on the year. First, we bet Stoliarenko, Jelisa Stoliarenko at chalk. We lost in pretty bad fashion. Next up, Devin Clark. We bet Devin Clark at big chalk, brown bear. Lost in embarrassing fashion. And here we are again.
Back to the well, baby.
Back to the well to bet a fighter that should not be this big of a favorite over anyone. And I'm betting them. And then on Saturday, when Eric Anders gets starched by Jamie Pickett, and I'm like, man, how did I have a losing week this week? I can go back and say, because I bet Eric Anders as a minus 334 favorite. So I got a little bit of value. Lines moved a little bit, got a little bit of value. But yeah, I do think that he is better than Jamie Pickett.
Bold.
At MMA. And I think he's better in about every facet of it. And I think he gets it done. I think he finishes him.
Did you parlay him with somebody or just straight bet?
Parlayed him. Okay. And I took Anders inside the distance, plus 145.
What I love about betting him in a parlay piece is that, you know, at least if it hits, you're getting a lot of value for it. You know, it's like taking the dog shot. You're getting paid off when it does hit.
Yeah, if it does hit, we will see.
I hope this wins. I think this is an incredible move from you, though.
I'm actually hoping that it doesn't, so we can just sit here and be like three for three, baby. Lily Renko, Clark, and now
who's the next one that we can find for you?
Oh, I'm sure it's coming on one of these Apex cards. We'll be at Apex 100 before we know it. Next up, bantamweight, Javid Basharat taking on Ayman Zahabi. Ariel Helwani returns to the octagon. Right now, Basharat minus 700, Zahabi plus 500. You're going Basharat here, huh?
I mean, you know it. Is he undefeated?
Sure.
Then he's in the undefeated parlay. That's just the simplicity that I bring to the table. I've also just never been sold on Ariel Helwani as a fighter. Broadcaster, maybe the best that there's ever been. Boxer? Darts? I mean, sure. Eddie Hearn gave him the business a little bit the other day, but I mean, that the triple 20, whew, guy's a hell of a dart player. Fist fighter? And Javid Basharat is very good at the fist fighting, so I do believe that the Basharat brothers' rise will continue.
Yes, this is tough for Zahabi here. I mean, I know he's got like the best striking defense in the bantamweight division at like 73%, but that's because Ricky Tercios went like 20 for 280 on strikes against him. Basharat, dude, like, I just feel like there's levels to the strike. Outside of him getting caught, I feel like his ability to mix in the takedowns and his striking capabilities, he's going to roll here.
Very much. Also, Connor, I'm excited to tell you that I've found the next one in the lineage. You know, in a couple of weeks here, I mean, obviously next week we got a big card, but in a couple of weeks we've got yet another venture into the Apex. I think that will be Apex 88.
Yeah, Apex 88.
87.
I have no idea who's main eventing.
Yeah, Tai Tuivasa, Marcin Tybura, great. On that fight card, little fight called Kennedy Inzichukwu versus Ovince St. Preux. Inzichukwu, a minus 400 favorite. That just feels...
like a parlay piece. That's what it feels like to me.
Right?
A parlay piece.
We all know Kennedy Inzichukwu. I know him well. That's a man you want to trust with minus 400 odds over anybody. Right,
I guess it's also the common denominator here. It's just like, well, Anders is fighting Jamie Pickett. I mean, Inzichukwu is fighting Ovince St. Preux.
Yeah.
OSP is old, man.
Again. Yeah, it's true.
That's what it is.
No. And who exactly was Julius Stolyarenko fighting?
Oh, God. Juana Carolina? I can't even remember. I cannot tell you who Devin Clark was fighting at this point. I cannot tell you.
Also, you were correct. It was Juana Carolina.
Devin Clark was fighting. Marcin Brack.
So in 2 weeks, I anticipate a Kennedy Inzichukwu bet parlay leg from Connor Burks. If it's not there, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah. Oh, that's co-main. That's co-main. That's big business. Oh, this card is not good.
Yeah, but that's
the Apex cards are like getting to a point where it's just like, you have to just know that the Apex cards are going to be just dog shit.
Yeah, they're going to be bad. I don't mind this one. I kind of like a lot of the fights this week, but it's not great. But listen, I like a lot of them.
The best two things going for this card is not the fights themselves. It's the lack of fights. We're up to 11 now. They have added a couple. We were at 9 yesterday, and I was feeling real good.
10 is the magic number. Also, you say we're up to 11, but as you previously noted, Alex Perez and Matt Schnell are both
scheduled. We're losing both those.
At least one of these is gone.
Yeah, so we might as well say 10. Perfect, clean 10. 1:30 start, though. Supposed to be in Saudi Arabia this week. They're not. 1:30 p.m. start. I'm down with that.
Pristine.
I might be at lunch and just have it streaming on the phone, boys.
Love that. Where are we at on fights?
We got a 3 left, and I don't have much to say on all of these.
I have almost nothing.
Beautiful. Loic Radzibov taking on Abdul Karim Al-Sawadi. Right now, Al-Sawadi is your favorite minus 162, Loic plus 136. I got nothing. I'm staying away from this one.
I have nothing, but I do want to let everyone know, in case you're unaware, Al-Sawadi was the Desert Force champion, and they give out a shield in lieu of a title belt. It's just like an old, like a knight shield that's massive, and his Tapology photo is him with the Desert Force Featherweight Champion shield. And it's the size of his body. It's truly an incredible photo, and I wanted to shout that out.
Can we just talk about Desert Force being a pretty sick name, I have to say.
I mean, it's an awesome name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see that now. Actually, I had not put two and two together when I was going to his Tapology earlier. Yeah, that's a big old shield, man.
It's a gigantic shield. It's awesome. So that's all I have to say on this fight. I have no action.
I got nothing either. Let's keep it rolling. Christian Leroy Duncan taking on Claudio Ribeiro. And Duncan, your favorite and growing, minus 298, Ribeiro plus 240. Ribeiro gets hit a lot, man. 31% striking defense, been knocked out. He's obviously got a puncher's chance. Hits like a truck, but CLD, man, tall, range. He uses that kickboxing. I think he avoids the power and gets this done. Probably finishes him, too.
I mean, normally I would agree. I don't have any bet here, but in case you missed it last week, Chris Duncan, tough night at the office.
That's nice preview there.
And I'm just saying, previously Chris Duncan, was that last week or was it? That was last week. Manuel Torres was last week, yeah. Previously I had the Chris Duncan parlay, which was very successful. With Chris, with the first Chris Duncan going, Christian Leroy Duncan taking an L now. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if that's foreboding. I don't know what it is, but I'm staying away.
Yeah, I guess you could have done the anti Chris Duncan parlay. That would have been great. That would have been great stuff. All right, we keep it moving. So two fights I'm curious to pick your brain on. They've just been added. Ludovic Klein taking on AJ Cunningham. Right now, Ludovic minus 800, AJ Cunningham plus 575. AJ Cunningham, where'd he come in on your Dana White Contender Series ranking list?
He did not get, well, let me check. I'm pretty sure I didn't rank him because he lost.
By knockout. Yeah, he lost by knockout.
Let me very check and make sure, because I did pick a couple of people who lost that I was just like, maybe would be okay. He was not one of them.
Feels like he might be losing this weekend.
I mean, it's not set up well for him. I will say that. Stephen Wynn. I mean, I have to remember what I thought of Stephen Wynn. And by remember what I thought, I mean I'm going to pull up my rankings and to look at old Stephen Wynn. Stephen Wynn was a just another guy. So if you lost to a just another guy, maybe not ideal. Though I will say, Shamil Gaziev was also a just another guy. And look at him in the main event.
Look at him now. He's in the main event. Last but not least, Vinicius Oliveira taking on Bernardo Sopa. Sopa coming on very short notice, flying in from Sweden. He actually had a fight booked for next week at AFN in Sweden. Still on his Tapology of having a fight this week and next. But we'll see. I mean, where did Vinicius Oliveira come in on your...
I'm right sorry. Now. I'm a bit distracted by. Have you pulled up Sopa's Tapology? This is a fascinating tattoo he's got going. It's an eyeball, but with Roman numeral clock face in, around the iris. Just
crying,
well. And on the other pectoral appears to be a lion. So he's really gone for the most cliched tattoos imaginable, which, good for you, I guess. As far as...
I don't know. It looks pretty cool. The Lion King is his nickname as well.
Is that really his nickname? Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
If you scroll down on Typology too, you see Vinicius Oliveira, and then on the second, and then Ricardo Montero at AFN 5 on the ninth.
Oh yeah, look at that. They just, I mean, maybe he's still doing it, you know. You know, maybe next week. Just go get give that paper. I liked Oliveira coming off Contender Series. Exciting dude. Young, can work. I know absolutely nothing about SOPA, so I obviously don't have any action. But I did like Oliveira, so I'm excited to kind of see if he is, you know, can follow up on what I thought was a very strong effort on Contender Series. He's like, he's still 27, 26. I mean, he's fairly young, so yeah.
Minus 148 right now for Oliveira. Yeah, I've watched zero tape on
SOPA, know nothing so about him.
Don't really know what to do with it. And that's that. That's UFC Vegas 87. Sounds good to me.
I mean, that sounds terrific, because you know what this means now, right, Connor?
Let's hear
it. On to 299.
299. Anthony Joshua versus Francis Ngannou. Next week is a big one, folks. Big one. We work through this right now to get to the reward next week. Next week will be unbelievable.
This is what we're into the sport for. I had people asking us today, is 299 better than 300? It's not, but it's a damn good fight card. And you add in Ngannou, Joshua on Friday before. Woo. And got a stew.
The scheduling there to have that on Friday. It's just so good. It's so good. But we'll talk about all of that next week. See you then.
Love y'all.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.